Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. I am Andrea Daniel, and today we have two guests on our show. First up is Casey Ruschetto, who is the first recipient of the House in the Write a House contest from 2014, and she also has a new book out, so we're going to get a little bit of information about that. And secondly is our monthly segment with Sylvia Hubbard, founder and president of the Motown Writers Network and Michigan Literary Network, and she's the executive producer of this year radio show. But first up here is a little bit about Casey. She was born on Cape Cod and raised as a sea witch. I found that to be a pretty interesting portion of her life. She was the recipient of the inaugural Write a House permanent residency in Detroit in 2014. She has attended Callaloo Writers Workshop, Cave Canem, and Breadloaf Writers Conference in Sicily. She is an artist in residence at Inside Out Literary Arts in Detroit and an editor of At the Offing. Her first book of poetry, Knocked Up on Yes, was released on Sargent Press in 2012. Her second poetry collection, The Dozen, was released on Sibling Rivalry Press in 2016. And I want to welcome Casey Ruschetto to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Casey, are you there?
Thank you for having me.
Okay, you are welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you were able to be here and to talk about all the good things that are happening, because I know you are a busy lady. So let's first talk about your new work, Casey, The Dozen. I believe it is hot off the presses, isn't it?
It is. It just dropped literally yesterday.
Good. Congratulations for that. So tell us about
Thank you.
New work.
So it's actually kind of funny. This is a book project that I've been working on for years, and I found out that it was going to be published about a week before I found out that I had won the house. So that was a good week. But of course, that was in it was 2013 when I found out, and then so it's been years, sort of pulling poems out, putting new poems in, and sort of building The Dozen. And it is four sections of 12 poems, so it's literally four dozen poems. Largely political work. I'm really proud of it. I think I packed a lot in. It's a labor of both things that I felt I needed to get off my chest personally, and then things that I thought were sort of important in this particular moment in American culture.
Right, right. So you said it took you a couple of years, and you took things out and you put things in. What were the things that you were trying to work with? Because you sounds like you did some juggling to get just the right package for the book to get together to come out now. So what were the things that you were working with and juggling around?
Sure. I think that part of it was, right, like I kept trying to write about these incidents of police brutality, and then it's like every 20 hours something new comes in. So, you know, it's like in some ways it's not as if I'm like trying to write a poem for everyone, every unarmed person that's shot by police, but at the same time it's also like, what's actually relevant at the present moment, and like what have we kind of forgotten about? And then like, you know, a case like what happened with Sandra Bland happens, and there's no way that I'm going to not talk about it in the book.
Right.
So that was some of it. You know, at one point there was a sort of weird essay in there about the sort of tenuous nature of what was happening with the Voting Rights Act a few years ago. And I think I ended up scrapping that, like took it out of the book in place of this other longer piece that's actually more about mental health and like being a person of color and interfacing with mental health systems. So it just changed around a lot based on like what I really wanted the end result of the book to be.
So what led you to know, Casey, that the book was done. I mean, I know, you know, it's always a tenuous thing when you're putting together a book or putting together some work and you're writing and you want it to be perfect and you don't know, you start out one way and then you're not quite sure how it's going to end. But what let you know that, Casey, this is done now? Don't try anything else. Don't try to add anything. Don't do anything else. Was it you or was it the publisher?
It was the publisher because it was like, at a certain point, I mean, like, I will say Sibling Rivalry was so good to me because at one point I did just write to Brian Borland, who's my editor. I was just like, look, I'm going to scrap about 20 poems and I'm going to send you all new work. And he trusted me with that, you know, and I think at a certain point after tinkering with it for so long, it was just time. Like, it needed to go to the press, the actual, like, printed press, you know.
Right. And there's been so much going on. I mean, like you said, you started out with the police brutality subject, but then after that, there was just a snowball of those types of events going on, and you couldn't write something for everyone. Were you working with older poems and adding and new poems as well, or were, you know, writing along the way? How did that actual process go?
Yeah, it's interesting. So the way that the book is set up is past, present, future, and then the last section is called Who's Bach? Just like not even just thinking about the idea of chronological time as being this sort of invented construct. And some of the older poems, to me, I'm like, oh, like there are poems in there that are close to 10 years old, probably. So the ones that are the oldest were really important to me because they were the ones that I was like, you know, this poem's really old and I still want to end the book and I still believe in it, even though I wrote it when I was, you know, 22 or whatever. And so that was hard trying to strike that balance in some ways, but then at the same time, there were poems that I knew were older poems that I was just like, yeah, this might be garbage. I'm tired of looking at this. It's got to go.
Right? that does happen. You just have to look at things. You have to look at things into where you are now and what was going on back then. It's like, oh, is it still relevant? And like you said, if you can recognize it for garbage and let it go, that's gross.
Yeah, true.
So I just want to say congratulations on the book. And you've got a lot of things going on, Casey. I mean, you're with Inside Out Literary Art. You have an event tonight, right, at the Anandi Center.
I do.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I will see you. But you will also be with us Saturday at the Motown Literary Women's Brunch. And so that's getting out a lot, and you're imparting your love of books and writing and poetry into the community. But can you say a little bit about, Casey, just spreading the work of literacy in the community and why that's important? Because that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in detail on Saturday, but I just want to get a little bit about that from you today.
Sure. I mean, to me, literacy takes many forms. And I think that one of the things that is really hard when we talk about childhood literacy especially is, you know, kids are in a school system that wants them to learn reading and writing a really particular way. And particularly in a place like Detroit, they don't necessarily have a whole lot of resources to actually, if somebody has fallen behind in reading, actually get them the individual help that they need. And to me, it's one of the things is like working with Inside Out is I go into high school classrooms and we just write poems every week. And I always tell the students, like, don't worry about spelling mistakes or grammar errors because we can go back and fix those. And we can talk about, you know, like we can fix that later. But the idea is just getting in the practice of actually writing and using your brain in this particular kind of way that's fun and not just like do this because you need to answer this essay question on a test. And, you know, like you see the statistics and it's really, it feels so daunting when you see statistics like 7% of I think it's like 7% of eighth graders in Detroit are reading at grade level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of thing, it's just, it makes it so important to me as a writer, because especially like when I was a kid, I loved reading so much. I was that nerdy kid that read the dictionary for fun. And not that like there are other nerdy kids that do that. I might be the only one, but like I think it's really crucial, because I think what people don't necessarily think about in terms of the point we are in time is how much communication is actually in writing now because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So just on a very basic level, as far as like job preparedness and sort of basic communication skills for the modern world, you kind of have to have that piece down. Otherwise people are going to dismiss you. And I never want that to be the case for anyone, especially a student. That's a long-winded answer, but that's, to me, part of why I think a lot of my work since I've moved to Detroit is really about advocacy and advocating for literacy and literacy programs.
That's good work, because, like you said, there's so much about communication and reading, and everything basically is online now. And so being literate just in the most basic form is so important. And so you being an advocate for literacy just at the youth level where you're starting out. And poetry is such a fun way to get kids interested in reading. Have you found that to actually be so?
I have, and it's so funny because I always walk into my classrooms the first day and I'll ask, who likes poetry?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's like there's two kids. You know, if I'm lucky, there's two students in the class. And then, you know, I'll ask them, okay, well, how many of you listen to hip-hop? And they're like, why are you asking? But almost all of them do. And I'm like, okay, but you listen to poetry on the radio nonstop every day of your life. Like, you can't act like rappers aren't poets. And in order to, like, get into it, you know, like this year, I think one of my first lessons, I used Drake's Hotline Bling as a writing prompt. And it's one of those things that, like, it's goofy, and I'm like, I know, I'm a grown-up bringing you, like, pop music as if it's literature, but at the same time, it's, like, literature. And
right.
I know that's something you're paying attention to, so.
Right. If you have a few minutes, I would really like to bring in Sylvia Hubbard in this conversation, because she's a big advocate for literacy, too. And I just want to see, you know, what we can bounce off of on this particular subject of literacy, because you brought up something really important just to add in what's relevant to kids today to impart literacy, you know, in their lives. So, Sylvia, welcome in. I see you're there.
I am honored to be here, and I am honored to be speaking with Cassie. I've been a fan of her work, and I'm just happy she's here in the Metro Detroit area just extolling her knowledge on the literacy world. So I thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's pretty sweet of you to say.
So, ladies, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about this subject of literacy. And Casey, I know that you, like we said, you do have an event coming up. So if you have to drop off at a certain point, just let me know and we'll let you go and I can continue on with Sylvia. But just the subject of literacy, and Sylvia, I don't know if you heard Casey talking about how she has used hip-hop with the kids that she works with in the Inside Out program. So let's talk a little bit about spreading that.
Yeah, when I did the Inside Out program, I did do that. I would play like Tupac, or I would play Notorious B.I.G. But what I would do is I would first give out the lyrics to them, and we would go through the lyrics, and like I would take out portions of that so they could kind of get the metaphors and get really deep down and would discuss them, and then they'd hear the song, and then I'd turn around and bring in like Aretha Franklin or some Motown sound and bring the lyrics in, and they would just go crazy. And it's just amazing how, you know, kids hear the poetry and they hear it, but they don't relate it as poetry. So that's always fun. And it's actually a teaching experience and connection experience for parents to use as well. You know, they're always saying practice what you preach, do something literacy-wise with your kids. And, you know, but you have a chance to connect with them. What does that metaphor mean? What are they saying? So we shouldn't pass up any opportunity as a teaching experience for reading.
True.
Right.
So I love that she does that. That's awesome. That's just great. Stop it. Don't get me started.
And one thing too, because you both talked about youth, but Sylvia, you brought up the point of parents and literacy, and you know, a lot of times there is something called generational literacy, right? Where there's a adult illiteracy levels that we also have to deal with, and so what can we do? And let's talk a little bit about imparting literacy on the adult community, because if you didn't get it when you're young, then you're going to grow up with a certain deficiency in the literacy on literacy level.
True. First, let Cassie talk about it, and then I'll come back because I know she has to go. So I would love to hear her like part some words to those adults out there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, right, where people say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So if you don't learn it when you're young, the expectation is that, like, somebody who's not, who doesn't love to read by the time they're 18 is going to pick it up when they're, you know, 45. But I think that overall, it's also like the times we live in. I keep harping on this idea of like the times we live in, but people are so busy in so many ways that I think outlets like TV, outlets like the internet provide this ability to sort of like get things in short snippets or put it on in the background while you're doing your daily tasks. So it might not be that you feel like you have the time to sit down and read a novel, but I think that there's still ways for adults to even address or think about literacy a little bit differently, right? So, and, you know, it's the same kind of thing if you think about the music that you listen to, the lyrics that you're connecting with. Those are poetry. Like, that's what you're connecting to it, but it's also just being sung and not said. And I think it's a basic starting point, but then at the same time, I think it's true what you say about parents. It's like, if you want folks engaged as parents, they also need to feel what the assignments are. They also need to be connected to literacy in some way to encourage its importance, I think. I feel like I don't have all the answers in terms of like how to encourage people, but I do think it's not a hopeless situation by far.
Thank
goodness.
Definitely.
Thank goodness for that. Yeah, just with the connection on your kids, you know, you should be practicing what you preach out there. And just every chance you get, try to find something that you can read or you can find out and then transpose that knowledge to your children to get them curious about the world. You know, me as a busy parent, as a single mom of three kids, it was very hard to just sit down, and that's what they would say, read a book. Just sit down and read a book to your child. But that's difficult to do. And, you know, with my love for literacy and love for reading, I still wanted to get my kids into that reading habit. So we used every moment as a teaching moment. If we were driving, you know, they asked a question, well, let's look that up when we get home, or let's, you know, find out more about that, where we're reading more stuff to find out about the questions that they ask. And how can we apply that to everyday life so they can start getting that connection? And, you know, just parents doing more and more of just getting their kids into a library I'm taking them to poetry events. Just, you know, just to say, okay, even though we both don't like poetry, but let's go find some great youth poetry events to check out. And they can always go to Inside Out to check out, you know, great poetry events for youth around the Metro Detroit area. You know, just to connect, to engage and just do more, you know, just literacy-wise events. So, you know, I'm always, I could preach all day about just read a book or read something.
Right. Something,
we go to church over here, girl. Don't get me started.
Well, Casey, before we let you go, Casey, because I know you got to get in your zone for your event. But first, let everybody know what your event is tonight. It's at 7 o'clock, but you know, fill us in about that, and also tell our listeners your web address.
Sure. So tonight is going to be the book release party for the Dozen at the Anatomy Center. It's going to go from 7 to 9. I think there's free drinks, free food. It's also a fundraiser for this track that I'm helping coordinate for the Allied Media Conference. And the track is called the Black Survivor Mixtape. So there's a suggested donation with the event. It's free. And then proceeds from the books are going to go to the track as well. And then Ciara Freeman, who is from Cleveland, will come out and read. Karina McCarthy Faddle, who's a good friend of mine, is also going to be reading some poems. And then Sharina Rodriguez, who is a baller and a Kresge fellow, also joined the reading. Deonte Osiande, who's also a Detroit poet, is going to host. And it should be really fun. I'm just really excited for it. So we'll read for about a half hour, the reading will last for about an hour, and then there'll be mingling, book signing, that sort of thing. And my web address is kcrochefort.org. Real simple, just
cool.
My name, .org.
Right. great. Well, Casey, I want to thank you so much for being on the air with me. I'm going to let you go so that you can go on and do what you have to do to get prepared for tonight. And I will see you at 7 and also on Saturday.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you again for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, and Sylvia, you are still with us, and so we're talking about Saturday, and people might just be hearing, what's Saturday? So tell us about the Motown Literary Women's Brunch. We've talked about it before, but now we are coming down to the wire, just, you know, a few days away. How are we looking? How are we looking right now?
We're looking good, and I wish it was, like, you know, 26 hours in a day so I could get a little bit more done.
Right.
But I was telling somebody the other day I haven't done an event in so long, and just getting back on the horse of getting everything organized, working around migraines, work schedules, and kids. It's fun and exciting for me. Actually, it's just like me having a party for the literary community, but also just getting out there and just, you know, doing it is, you know, the frustration comes, but it's like love. You don't really feel it until, like, you know, you're trying to sleep and you can't sleep because it's like, oh, I want to get this done, you know. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. You know, everybody's talking. You know, when I hear other people talking about it and they don't know I'm listening or I'm involved, really interesting because they're like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to wear and, what am I going to, you know, oh, I can't wait for what's going to happen, and, oh, it's just going to be a good time. So I'm really just honored that the community just thinks so highly of our, you know, the Motown Writers Network, that they just really want to come out, support literacy in Metro Detroit, and check out these wonderful women we'll be highlighting. So it's the Motown Writers Literary Brunch, and that's March 19th at the Skillman Library on Gratiot. You can actually park now at the parking garage on the side and get discount parking. They'll valet when you come in through the lobby. So if you guys are, you know, parking downtown has always been hard for everybody, but you actually will get a discount on your parking when you park next in the garage next door to it. So we'll be going from 11 to 2. And like I said, just having a really great time discussing books, challenging the literary community, and just networking and celebrating the written word.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So there's going to be, there's a light brunch, and you talk, you know, you mentioned, you know, people, you've heard people say, what are we going to expect? So give us a little bit of what's going to happen. You say it's from 11 to 2. What will people
uh-huh.
experience after they get there and they register, and then what's going to happen?
So for if you are a special ticket of those VIP, which are limited and there's still some available, if you come in at 11, you'll be directed towards the brunch area, and you can network and meet the featured authors that are coming in, get to talk with them, network with us, and eat. And then at 11:45, the general public will be able to come in and brunch, share with vendors, check out everybody's work, and then we'll officially welcome everybody, present the bios. We'll have, like, every featured author will get 10 minutes to speak about, you know, the challenges of being a woman, an author, and their support of the literary community and their works and stuff. And then also we'll have Karen Dumas actually come in at 12:30 and have a formal literary community discussion with the panel and the public about what more we can do as people who love words in order to enrich, increase literacy, and provide more options to the community for books, for book buying, and just helping mm-hmm. authors and writers and readers out on getting more out about the Motown, the essence of Motown literary world.
Ah, okay. Wow. Okay, so that's really good. I'm liking the way that's going. 11:45, 11 o'clock, the VIP ticket holders come in. 11:45, the general public comes in. And so there's actually going to be an opportunity for authors to be, just all authors to be able to stand up and talk about their work at around noon.
Networking, we're gonna see, okay. Depending upon time and everything, after the discussion is over, the discussion will be probably over about 1 o'clock, 1:15. You know, sometimes it gets a little heated. You know how we get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets a little heated, but, you know, we'll also have time at the end for vendors to also come up and speak about what they're selling, what their products are, and then randomly we'll have, if we have time in the schedule, your author there, we probably can get you up on the mic for about a minute to let people know your author, you're here, your website, and what you're doing.
Okay, cool, good. Open
so that they can get their official pitch together. Yeah, get their official pitch together for a minute pitch. You got people, so get out there and you can say something. So, yeah, we might take early sign-ups for that at the registration table when you come in. I know there, like a lot of people say, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford the VIP section and stuff like that. But it's still general free for the public. And I never try not to get anybody's way of trying to promote themselves. So this is a free event. We would love you to come and network, and especially just get to know other authors, other writers, other readers in the community, and hopefully see you at this annual event, you know, that we'll be doing every year from now on.
Is there, I've got 1 minute left, is there still time for people to be able to register, or can they just show up at the door?
They can still register. You can only get VIP tickets online till the morning of the 19th. You can go to MotownWriters.com/womensbrunch to get that, but you can also register at the door for free.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, and I'll see you Saturday.
Yes. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's it for the Michigan Literary Network Radio. Come on back next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 right here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is going to be Kenya Moss Dime. I am Andrea Daniel from Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you. for being there, and I will be with you next week. Have a good one, and write a good story. Be a good story in your own life. Good night.